Quorum, our show where we dive into all things TTRPG. Today we have a very special show about genres. What do we like? What do we not like about our specific genres? What do we like as players? What do we like as GMs? But before we dive into that, as always, I'm not alone. Zach from Old Man Gaming. Zach, how are you doing?
Hi, everybody. It's Zachariah with Old Man Gaming. We're going to do our top three genres as players, top three genres as game masters. Very excited about this and to talk about this. That's it. I'm ready to roll.
Yeah. I'm really glad, Zach, you came up with this idea. It was real good timing, too, because I'm starting to sort of dive into market values of different genres as in the indie space, particularly the TTRPG indie space. And okay. I got like a lot of insights just like having to do all this research on it and seeing all these different developers and all these different genres and how they focus on things and what they're doing here. And I think it's going to be a fun one.
I think it's going to be a fun one. I'm always excited to talk about topics like this because it leads to digression, and digression is awesome usually.
Yeah, we end up having a lot of tangents and just a lot of fun.
I did really quickly want to throw out there because we did get actual comments on the last episode on the math.
Oh.
So just wanted to really quickly read them. We had two from PhilBilly330. The Build Master, he says, combat and advancement, my two favorite things, laugh out loud, which I said, those are my least favorite things. And then he also said, got to disagree with Zach on something he said. He plays games in a well-lit room with nine other people, no reason to actually be afraid, when I was talking about horror games, and he says, first point, the garage is not well lit. Second point, Ben is there. Plenty of reasons to be afraid. Inside table humor on Ben and the garage. Not well lit. And then we also got somebody named Roll Impact, just said love it. And I just want to thank everybody for the comments.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. That's awesome.
And now you may continue, sir. I just wanted to make sure we got him in there.
Yeah, for sure. We gotta support we gotta shout out our the people who are watching us, the people that are supporting us.
Yes.
Okay, so genres. Let's start with top three genres to play as a player. Not as a GM. Yeah, we'll do that next. But top three as individuals. What do we like to what kind of world do we like to jump into when we're sitting at a table and looking at a GM, hoping to see some adventure of some kind? So for me, my top three, this one is so tricky. Probably fantasy, which is a super common one. It is the largest genre out there by far. I've actually run this kind of poll on various sites, and fantasy always is the biggest. You know, everybody loves fantasy, and probably because they all get their start with D&D, and the people that start in on RPGs are bringing their love of fantasy to D&D, so of course they're going to have already a bias towards it. I'm the same way. I love fantasy, and my genres is books and movies, so... as a player, I think that is a really fun space and a really diverse space. It could go into a whole bunch of different sub-genres, which we might even get a chance to dive into later on. But fantasy is probably my number one. If I was lost on a desert island somewhere or on a planet, that would probably be my number one pick.
So, yeah, fantasy for me is very interesting. I would like to get a little bit more into this fantasy specifics, so to speak. Because you said it, fantasy is a very, like, man, that's a wide swath, you know, of stuff.
Sure.
I mean, a lot of people even can consider, like, steampunk and fantasy and stuff like that. So it's hard to really, like... lock down fantasy. Are you just talking about like Lord of the Rings style, like classic fantasy?
You know, I mean, if we're gonna lock it down to like that,
well, honestly, you don't necessarily have to lock it down. I just, I want, like, what's the one that's right. more specific? Like, yeah.
It is a broad brush broad. To paint with.
It's broad.
And so, yeah, if I were to lock it down a little bit more, which I think is definitely something you should do with something like fantasy, honestly, to be fair to what we're really looking at, I'd say dark fantasy, actually. Yeah, maybe, you know, swords and sorcery, but maybe more geared towards, like, battling through the nine hells or fighting an evil, like, lich, like, really, like, make it more a battle between a host of undead zombies as opposed to just like orcs, if that makes sense.
Like borderline horror, basically.
Yeah, borderline horror, but definitely still in the fantasy like motif, I guess, the magic and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. I've definitely gained more respect for fantasy as I've gotten older. When I was younger, like, I anytime somebody was like, let's play D&D, I just, oh, knights and orcs, bleh. You know, I always wanted to be in science fiction, or at least if I was doing something fantasy oriented, I wanted to be something kind of like adjacent to just normal fantasy. But I've definitely gotten more of a respect for fantasy, you know, and that actually kind of comes from my video game experience, just like Skyrim and Baldur's Gate 3 and games like that, that just kind of like reinvigorated me into that. Plus, there's something to be said about aging and like the things that you experience, even if you like them, you experience in them so much because they're your preference that it's like, okay, now I need to find something else to experience. Yeah. And like,
get the novelty back.
Yeah, like, I was never fantasy. Like, if you said swords and sorcery, I was out the door any day of the week. And now I'm like, yeah, let's do some swords and sorcery. I'm down. And I seek out some more video games that are like that and more TTRPGs. And I think it's because when I was a kid, all the games were mecha. All of them.
Right. Like, that was just real big back then.
Everything was mecha or Dragon Ball Z or superheroes or something along those lines. So yeah, for playing for mine, this gets real hard for me because I could probably count on one hand the amount of games that I've actually gotten to play in. Definitely gotten to play more nowadays than I did when I was younger, but like overall, just the other thing is too, I have a bit of a control freak element to me. It takes a special kind of game master for me in a lot of ways because I see how, like, when I see the story start to progress, I see how the story should go. And then, like, I need to be, like, in a place where, like, even if it does, even if it changes position, like, I'm like, okay, I can see how this is a resolution. Like, this is the through line for the character. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I guess what's weird about it, I guess, is I look at even playing my characters like a game master would. Like, I don't necessarily look at the character like, here's a fun guy, I'm gonna play pretend for a little while. I look at him like, where did he begin? Where is he now? Where do I want him to end? What are his goals? Like, and what his through line is? And, like, that's yeah. just something that, like, in my head, I just do automatically. So it's tough for me as a player to kind of
pick... I can see that.
Pick You're the also, stuff... You're... That I would
the forever play. GM is a real thing, and
yes. I mean,
I can see, you know, if you're used to making NPCs, you kind of play your character like an NPC a bit.
I do, and you can actually, I would actually say, and I don't know if he's going to listen to this, but my garage GM, I think would maybe back that up, that most of my players have been almost like, or most of my characters have been very, much more like they're like playable NPCs than they are like you're playing a character that you created, you know? I definitely tend to be like, how do I make a character that fits into this world? And how do I make that character then have an impact on the world? Instead of just being like, here's the thing that I want to do, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, right back to the Shaka McGillicuddy, the character that I think I've talked about on this podcast before, the crazy Irishman in the Wild West game that we played. When I initially decided to put that together, I talked to the game master and was like, I want to play bad guy. He'll probably only be alive for a session. I just want to see how it works. And he ended up being alive for the majority of the game, and the story ended up revolving around him. But he was still always just this, like, he was never gonna he was not a long term. He was an antagonist. He was an antagonist from start to finish. Like, he's just an antagonist that sometimes they worked with, you know. And I think that even the characters that I have now in his game, I think the most character-like one is my mage, Zeke. But even he has this, like, era. Like, his first thing he did was, like, basically protect a street and collect other NPCs that then became kind of more important than him. So, like, in a lot of ways, he does that, too. I'm off topic. I'm sorry.
That's what this show's about sometimes. It's just, there's so many ways to go down a RPG. There's so many ways to go down a show about RPGs.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess big disclaimer through all of that is I have only played so many games. And I don't know that any of those games are games that I would have, if you asked me, what do you want to play? That's what I would want to play. I'm not saying I didn't have fun with them or enjoy them, but as far as genres go, if you gave me the run of the world, you know, like any game you want to play anywhere, what's it going to be? I don't know that I would have picked the games that I have played. But the first one I am going to say is because it has recently sparked my interest heavily. And it is something that I wish I had known about as a kid. It is something that I am endeavoring to create myself. And that would be narrative, single-player, and journaling games. Single-player or games that Game Master themselves kind of journaling games. I know this probably wasn't what we planned on this being, so to speak. I don't know that you would even consider this a genre, but, like, that to me, it's just been so enjoyable to me because it's basically me playing with my own NPCs, which it's nice. Like, I get to game master for myself. I get to do the storyline from start to finish, especially when we do it on here or we do like a stream of it or something. It's even better because then it gets like out there. So not only am I telling the story, but I'm not just telling it to myself. I'm telling it to the world, whether they want to listen or not. So, like Last Tea Shop, amongst the Starlight Wreckage was another one we did. I've just been really into those kind of games recently. And those are the ones that definitely excite me when I'm scrolling around itch.io looking for new games to kind of try or check out.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I love the solo RPG, you know, a rising industry. And it is definitely, like, it's a genre of core system, I'd say, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely distinct genres within core rule systems that are, make them unique and of their own type of core system. And the solo RPG, it's definitely its own thing. It's a lot of fun. I love those games.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun, and they just keep those creative juices flowing, and I just love messing with them and playing them, and they're definitely like, we're talking top three for playing. They're one of the ones that I would always be like, ooh, excited to do that, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I can definitely see that. There's a lot there to them, because, like, they also, it's almost like gamified writing.
Yeah.
You know, in so many situations, because you never know what you're going to get, but then you have to kind of work with whatever it is you rolled, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's just a ton of fun. So what's your second one?
Second one, that's where things get really hard. For whatever reason, the second one was harder to narrow down than the first or the third.
That the player section was the hardest for me. I really, because, like, I don't think, I was trying to go through all the games that I've actually played in, and I don't think one of them is a game that I was like, I want to play this. You know what I mean? It was a game that, like, everybody else wanted to play it. And I was like, yeah, I don't have to game master. Sure, I'm in. You know? So, like, I don't think from just a pure desire standpoint, I have ever played a game I wanted to play. So, like, it's very kind of weird.
I can actually see that. That's why, like, the Forever GM becomes a thing. Because you're like, yeah, this game's okay. So I'm going to be a GM and make my own game.
Yep.
Well,
and then you become, especially the control freak in me, it's like, yeah, this is fun, but I would rather do it this way because I'm a psychopath, you know?
So for number two, if I had to narrow it down, I was going to actually go with horror as my number two. Like I said, fantasy, horror, dark fantasy. Number two is probably horror as a genre of game. And again, it's one of those things where you kind of like, yeah, you know, I said fantasy horror before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about like horror, like Call of Cthulhu? Or are we talking about like something, you know, it could blend into so many other genres.
It really could.
You know, little mini genres. But if horror's done right, it encapsulates like not just like this fear in the gaming world, like in the RPG world. Every horror game that I've ever played as, you know, as a gamer, and a lot of them are actually more in gear with within the solo RPG subgenre, because there's a lot of like of those like darker themed solo games out there. But it incorporates a lot of mystery into it, and you're trying to solve problems while also having this like suspense sort of close in around you and your characters. What's going to happen next? And I just love that. I love being able to try and solve the problem while like trying to be elusive and not be eaten by the monster or possessed by the demon or whatever the monster of the day happens to be.
Yeah, this is a tricky one for me because I would say that the predominant amount of games that I actually play right now are horror games, which is weird because I am not a horror guy, nor am I really into horror. But I have the two games that I'm playing in personally, like in person, are both World of Darkness. One of them a vampire, the other one I am a mage. And then there's, we haven't released them yet, but we are recording an actual play podcast to coincide with the release of our Ordo Scriptorium release, which is going to be our Gothic horror addition to single mod.
Yeah.
And in that I play just a real piece of work, but, but those are the two. And I would say that's right now, as far as games that I'm actually playing in, those are all the games that I play right now, like personally playing
as a player.
Yeah, there is a game that we're going to play when some of our projects like back off a little bit. But like overall, like other than the one-offs that we've done, those are the games that I regularly play in. And I don't think I'd pick this genre. I don't hate these games. I enjoy playing them. And that's something I want to clear out. Like I said earlier, like I've never played a game I wanted to play. I wanted to play the game. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying like the genre itself wouldn't be one I chose. You know what I mean?
Okay,
like,
yeah.
It's not like I wanted to play the game. I wanted to play the character with the friends. I don't want everybody out there who listens to this, who's played with me, to be like, he didn't want to play the game. No, I wanted to play your game. I wanted to play in your game. Your genre is not something that necessarily interested me. It doesn't mean that I didn't enjoy myself or love it. So when I say I never played a game I wanted to play, I'm speaking directly about the genre.
Let me ask you then, what is your second choice? Because like you got the first one, which is solo. So what's the second one?
Okay, so this one's weird, and I don't know how we're going to handle this on the podcast because I'm going to say some stuff that is very strange for everybody out there. So bear with me on this. Okay, the word furry. I do not know exactly in the year 2024 what that specifically means, because when I first heard it, it meant like people who wanted to dress up as animals and do it. You know, that's what I thought it was. Like, it was a purely sexual term. But now, from what I hear, it's just people who are very into anthropomorphic animal stuff. Not sexual, just, like, Ninja Turtle stuff and, like, stuff where humanoid animals replace humans and, like, SWAT cats and shit. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know exactly what the term means anymore as far as what it is. But furry games, as far as the second definition, I don't know why. I have no idea why, but there is something in my brain that I love anytime you take a thing and then you replace that thing with anthropomorphic animals. I have no idea. And that, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, super into, obviously. I've read all the comics. I have all the stuff. I'm very into them. I'm very into their RPGs. But there was an RPG a while back, a fantasy RPG called Ironclaw, that I always wanted to play and could never get anybody excited about. And what it is it's literally like D&D, but they replaced all the playable races with anthropomorphic animals. Badgers, foxes, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like stuff like that I think is so cool. I think the first role-playing game I ever wrote up, like, that was actually big and decent was a game called, I don't know if anybody ever read the Brian Jacques books as a kid, the Red Wall books. It's like Red Wall, Mossflower.
I haven't read those.
I read those books. I became obsessed with them, and I wrote a role-playing game based off of it where you played like a mouse fighting rats and shit. That kind of stuff. I don't know why. I have no idea why. There's no scientific reason that I can say this is the reason that I'm into this, but I just am. I think that stuff's really cool, and, like, when it gets put into RPG form, I think it's like, yeah, I want to play a badger. Let's fucking do this. I don't know why. I get very excited about it. The NPCs that I create in TMNT, like, I don't even like the character creation in TMNT because it's so complicated. I love making characters in TMNT because it's like, ooh, yeah, I'm an octopus. How does he become a good guy or a bad guy? What is he in correlation with other things? And I don't know why that just gets my neurons firing. It just does. So, like, as weird as it's going to be, that's what I'm going to say. Like, any game that involves that gets me very excited. I have no idea why.
Because, like, that is, like, a genre that I've seen. I haven't actually played any games that are really that focused on it. Now, in D&D, one of my favorite characters I played was a tabaxi, which is an anthropomorphic cat person.
Yeah.
And I totally played that character, you know, like a cat person.
Right.
My wife played an anthropomorphic cat person, and there was one session during one of our games where I was a GM, and, like, she got across the bridge. Everybody was, like struggling to get across this bridge. The bad guys were trying to collapse the bridge. It was over a huge expanse. And she was like, I'm going to push buttons on the bridge because that's what a cat would do. And she was straight up like, I'm going to push a button. I'm going to push a button. And she just pushed a button, like, just exactly the way a cat. So it's fun.
It is. It's weird. It's weird. I understand that it's a very hard genre to kind of lock down, but, like, I don't know.
There are some games out there that I've seen. I haven't played them. I haven't read them, but I've seen that seem to be really leaning into that and even going even deeper where you're, like, not just an anthropomorphic person, but you're, like...
Yes.
Oh, I mean, it's almost more like Mr. Toad, almost.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Toad Manor and stuff. There's this game on Itch, and I recently got it. It's called, like, I want to say Homecoming or Homeward. I want to say Homeward. And it's one of those where it's like the whole thing is about, like, you as animals trying to find a new home. And, like, I don't know. It's just, like, the minute I see that, I'm like, yep, I'm in, and I don't know why, and I don't know. I'm sure people will say very funny things about me right now, but honestly, I'm 42, and I just could care less what anybody thinks about anything that comes out of my mouth anymore. So, like, whatever.
That time has passed.
It really has. It really has. But, like, oh, you think I'm weird? Well, don't talk to me anymore. That's on you. Like, whatever.
Yeah. I damn, okay.
But I would say that it is just something that, like... Like, if you say to me fantasy swords and sorcery, I'm like, okay, you say fantasy swords and sorcery, but all the characters are animals. I don't know, but, like, all my chips get pushed in. And, like, I have no idea why that is, but that is the truth. And I'm always excited about that. It's one of the reasons I'm so excited when we do finally get time to do it. A little bit of a spoiler. This is way in the future, so don't expect it tomorrow or anything, but me and Wiz are going to try and do, like, 15-minute RPG episodes of an actual play so that we could keep playing kind of random games here and there. And the first one we're going to do is Mutants in the Now. And I've made this Bail Bondsman frog that, like, literally, like, takes people to prison in his mouth because his head is giant. And I can't wait to play it. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like everything. We did a deep dive review of it, and I think we even did a character creation session of Mutants in the Now. So you're a mutant, you're an animal that it mutates the same way the turtles do in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and becomes an anthropomorphic mutant human thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to doing that one quite a bit too. There's definitely something really fun about that. And I don't know, maybe like spitballing here, maybe it's because like you can associate with the animal. You know what an animal can do. You see its abilities.
Yeah. So,
like, oh, I want to be able to, you know, jump like a frog or fly or swim like a shark or something. That would be so cool. I wonder what it's like to be like a shark. And you see these videos and now you can play a game where you're kind of a shark character.
Yeah, I love the idea, too, of taking just real-life things and being like, what would this look like in a fantasy world, you know? Like, and how many of my Astral Drive races are just, you know, like big animals, basically. I don't know. But what's your third one, now that my weird one's out of the way?
Oh, third one. Okay, so the third one was definitely sci-fi.
Right.
The thing is, like, it came in third because I haven't played a ton of sci-fi RPGs as a player. And I haven't hardly, like, GM'd them. But I loved it so much that the drive to play more of them is, like, just so in me, you know? Like, and that's kind of where, like, it was... I almost put it as second because of how much I want to play more of it. It's just I haven't played a ton of sci-fi games, and they're just so much fun. I love sci-fi as a literary genre and a movie genre. In fact, I would say from a movie point of view and a show point of view, I think I like that far better than fantasy even. From the literary, from books, it's kind of 50-50 between sci-fi and fantasy, but there's just so much you can do with it. Yeah. And, you know, we were just saying, like, you can, like, take something from the real world and put it into this fantasy world. It's, like, with sci-fi, there's so many things that you take from science and just tinker with it. Like, you know, Star Trek did, like, you know, what would be a light speed engine? How would it actually work in this world? How do lasers really work in you know, an actual sci-fi setting? If it was a realistic laser, what would it actually behave like? And I love that about the genre in general, and I love gamifying that kind of stuff and playing with it once it is gamified.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. I will say sci-fi is another very wide paintbrush that is hard to, because that encapsulates everything. I mean, there's even an argument to be made that it encapsulates superhero games as well and stuff like that, just because science fiction is just such a big thing. I would say I see where you're coming from. Some of the most fun I've ever played is sci-fi. I played a lot of mech games when I was a kid. My brother game mastered Heavy Gear, if anybody's out there's heard about it. You know what? I'll show you guys because I got the books. He gave me all the books because he doesn't do role-playing games anymore. But it's this right here. And it's on a silhouette system. And they're really cool drawn books. Wiz, you have to watch this back or I'll show you off screen. And Heavy Gear was awesome. We played a lot of Heavy Gear and Robotech from Palladium. We did some of that. And so there's a lot of mech games there. That's sci-fi. I think that, like, sci-fi is tricky, though. there is some downsides to sci-fi. I would definitely rather play in sci-fi than game master sci-fi, even though I've only ever game mastered sci-fi, mainly because sci-fi is so hard to get across what you're saying. I've talked to you about this off camera before. When you say to somebody, like, sci-fi almost requires art and pictures. It's one of the big reasons I'm not putting Astral Drive out as an actual thing you can purchase with single mod. Because when I say to you, there's an orc there, you picture an orc. You know what an orc is? It's very simple and straightforward. Sci-fi has so much more limitless potential to be like, this is what you're doing with it. But like say what this is, you know, this is a cactus man. You know what I mean? Like it's a completely different thing. And they come out of your head. And unless you have somebody very talented who can put those things to paper, and you have the money to pay that person, it becomes very difficult to run a game and do things. I mean, even Astral Drive, I've had a hard time sometimes describing to you guys what a scene looks like or what is actually happening in it. And I think sci-fi, it's one of the downsides of it.
One thing to talk about that point, it is challenging. There's actually you just opened up a big can of worms on that one, because there's a lot to talk about there. Because like, from the player standpoint, you're right, art helps a lot, just being able to see it. But at the same time, like, you know, I love sci-fi literature. Like I said, it was kind of 50-50 for me on the written word of reading a book that's either sci-fi or fantasy. It would be really hard for me to pick between the two.
Right.
And they do good descriptions, but really, if you're going to GM, you're going to work harder trying to make up with those descriptions for that alien race that just popped into your head from planet, you know, X, Y, Z, and it has four eyes and it has green skin. And if you really want to paint that picture, you're going to work. You know, you're going to work hard. Really, if you want to run a fantasy game, you're going to be like, yeah, it's a lich. It's an undead wizard of horror.
Yeah.
Everybody knows exactly.
And you know it immediately. I would argue that, you know, everybody's like, you could do anything with fantasy. And I'm like, yeah, you can, but you could actually probably do anything plus with sci-fi. Like, sci-fi covers such a wide, like you say science fiction to somebody and it's like, one person's going to think of Star Trek. Another person's going to think of Star Wars. Another person's going to think of Gundam. Another person's going to think of aliens. Another person is going to think of, you know what I mean? Another person's gonna think of Marvel. It just keeps going on and on and on. So like, there's just so much you could do with sci-fi. It's hard to really narrow it down.
And that's, this is going to be a big tangent, because I think we like, for the exact reason you just said, there's so much to talk about sci-fi. It just keeps going. Much.
It does.
And if I were to narrow it down to like a little bit more tighter, I would say exploration can be one of my favorite aspects of sci-fi just in general. And I haven't played a ton of games like that. There's one game I want to play. It's actually a solo game where I can't remember. It was on, they played it on Game Master Mondays, and it sounded so beautiful. It was procedurally generated. Procedurally generate a world you visit.
Oh, that's
and awesome. And you have to react to the various elements that procedurally generate in this world. And that was just such a beautiful game. Like, just listening to them invent these crazy worlds where this ancient civilization has died in the past, and now you're trying to unearth their this alien ruins, you know, and then they go to another world that's basically like controlled by this giant plant fungus that is just enveloped this entire world that goes through these various life cycles. It go everywhere with that.
That's amazing.
That's probably the area that I would have to pick as far as narrowing the sci-fi genre down, because like you said, you could do Robotech where it's all war, you know, and it's laser beams and battling and, like, you know, or spaceships. And instead of Robotech, you know, you could go just straight battleships in space.
Yeah.
Or Warhammer. I mean, Warhammer is insane. And so much of that could be falling into sci-fi, you know?
Yeah. I agree. Sci-fi is tough. I mean, you could even put Mad Max in there if you really want to get creative. Like, science fiction. Yeah, science fiction covers so much shit that it is nearly impossible to like narrow it down to what you want it to be. And the other thing is too, I mean, it creates a really cool opportunity for you because it is one of those genres that really you are limited by nothing. Like you can create whatever you want in it and it works, you know. Whereas you know, even the most fantasy still has to have some certain elements that kind of, whereas science fiction is just in it. Well, okay, we're going to do crazy. I mean, you look at Astral Drive, like that is just craziness. You know what I mean? Like you could, and it's a craziness that's crafted by me, which is really nice, where I don't feel like I could do that with necessarily just a simple fantasy game, you know? But at the same time, it's crafted by you. It only exists in your head, and conveying that to other people is incredibly difficult unless you have some sort of artistic ability to do that. So science fiction's hard. Science fiction's hard.
So what's your number three as a player?
Okay, so this one I've never played because I'm really out of stuff that I've played that I would really, really like be excited to go back to as a genre. So this is something that I've never played, that I've always wanted to play, that I've just never gotten the opportunity to play.
That's a good number three pick.
Right. I don't know what else to do because I've played everything else. I really want to play a post-apocalyptic Mad Max car sort of. Like car, you know, a violent sort of like game like that. I've always wanted to create one and never really successfully pulled it off because car mechanics are just so obnoxious.
That's like, kind of my single mod world that I want to do is a car mechanics,
which is cool. I warn you, it is more complicated than you think it is, so keep it very cinematic. Like, keep it as cinematic as humanly possible, because I think, like, three or four times me and Phil, because Phil is a car guy in real life, sat down and actually tried to, like, hammer out very, like, technically correct systems about, like, this is how, like, to simulate it. And okay, they always worked, but the problem is it would take, like an hour to drive a mile, you know what I mean? So like, like in a race, and it would just be like, this isn't sustainable. So I would say keep it as cinematically as humanly possible while trying to get those grease grease monkey elements in, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But I've always wanted to play it, and I've just never been able to do it. I've played some tabletop games that do it. There's a game called Gaslands, which if you are a miniature guy and you don't have a lot of money, I urge you guys to go check it out. The book itself is only $20, and it's basically rules to play with your Hot Wheels as if they were in a post-apocalyptic death sport. It's absolutely awesome.
Are you kidding?
Oh, no. I have a whole...
Oh, I'm buying that as soon as we're off.
I have a whole tool chest of cars over here that I've literally like done special paint jobs and stuff to. I made backstories so cool for him and everything. Yeah, I fucking love Gaslands. Gaslands is a lot of fun. But again, it's not an RPG. You know what I mean? And like, I've never gotten to play that kind of RPG. And I would like to play that kind of RPG. But it's an opportunity has not yet presented itself. The other thing I would... Just like an honorable mention, I would love to play a political intrigue game. I don't like combat anyway, and I would love to have a game that is just about, like, talking.
Yeah.
And that somehow be interesting. I think that would be so much fun, given the right party for it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's my last one. We can switch to the GMing if you want.
Okay, yeah, let's jump into the GM side of this. What do we, our top three genres to play as a GM?
Yeah, to run, basically.
Yeah, to run. I know this one was hard. Because, like, this one I'm a little bit more narrow on my personal experience is running for a GM than as a player, not much more narrow. And it's because, you know, like a lot of our games, if you're in this hobby, your games go on for like years sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah, not always. But, not always. You know, when you do sometimes. Have those year-long campaigns, it's sometimes hard to jump into multiple campaigns, especially if you're a GM, because that takes so much more work as a player.
Yeah.
Fortunately, actually, meeting you, Zach, I've played more at one time in my life, you know.
We're definitely packing them in right now.
Any other time in my life.
We're packing them in right now, man.
We are. I'd say if I had to pick my number one for being a GM, I'd have to go with fantasy again. It goes back to, there's so much you can do. It's so broad, you know? I've played high fantasy as a GM. I played sort of like Savage Land fantasy, you know, where there is magic. It is, but you're almost cavemen. You know, I've run that kind of game. I played exploration fantasy where you're going through, I did a one shot where they went through like a jungle basically, and they had to decide, you know, how far they're going to go and what kind of, they're going to go to the temple. Or are they going to go to like a cave system, you know? And so there's a big group of ways you can go down fantasy as a GM that as like, you know, another forever GM, you love to write, and it just gives you so many tools to make it fast and easy. Whereas something other genres like the sci-fi that we were talking about, you have to work so much harder for. But there's so much out there already that you could just draw from like that. Like,
yeah,
Haunted Castle, boom, we're good. But if you want to be creative in other areas, like this Haunted Castle is controlled by this very specific type of demon, and just pile into that, you can do that too.
I don't hate fantasy at all as far as a runner. I mean, it's not on my top three. There is a game in there's two games that I've always wanted to run in well, that's not true. There's a game that I've always wanted to run in fantasy that is pirate fantasy. Not necessarily pirate, but like high seas fantasy. I have always wanted to run that, never gotten around to it. I'm hoping that at some point in the nearest future, when maybe Astro Drive is done or Ordo has wrapped, I can kind of set to a fantasy world of high seas, and that can be an actual play that I run. I think that I love that genre of pirates and sailing and naval combat, and I think that that's cool because you could do that in fantasy. I really like, aside from the high fantasy, I really like when you get some like really grindy fantasy too. I think I've talked about it on the channel before, but when I was a kid, I played this game called Warhammer RPG. Like Warhammer's miniatures, but they actually had a tabletop RPG, which is extremely brutal. One of the coolest things about it, though, is their progression system is not level-based. What you do is you pick a job, and then you'd have to take all of the, like as you got experience, you would, like, each job would be like, this is of the, like, 9 stats that you have, these are the stats that you can increase with this job, and these are the skills you can take. And you would spend money taking those skills and getting those advancements until the job was finished. And then the job itself had career exits. And it would be like, you could now go laterally to this job, or you could go promote yourself to this job. And it just kept going on and on. Well, what's even cooler about it is you start as like a fucking fisherman, or like a potato farmer, or like just like nothing. You would start as just this absolutely nothing character, and you would end up get like slowly like, but like fisherman has an out for like mariner, and then mariner has an out for naval commander. You see what I'm saying? And you see, you take these routes. I ran a game of Warhammer with my brother, this guy I know, Jeremy, a long time ago. We played for a while. I was actually a decently sized game before it petered out. But that's where like it started out. Like one of them was a fucking farmer. The other one was a fisherman. Their family gets wiped out, and they get picked up by mercs, and like they slowly have to train themselves into the warrior areas. And I thought that that was just so cool. I love that early grind when you're not necessarily the chosen one.
Yeah.
You're just a guy doing a thing, you know, trying to survive in a world of orcs and shit. But fantasy's cool. That. Fantasy has a lot of options. I mean, the generational, which was on the bucket list, the year resolutions that we talked about at the end of the year, that game would be in fantasy, at least to beginning of. So I think that, like, yeah, be a lot of fun. Be a lot of fun to do fantasy.
Cool. So is that your...
No!
My what is first yours? One, what is yours?
My first one, without a doubt, number one with a bullet, professional wrestling all the way. I have run professional wrestling multiple times in my life. I do not have a running game right now, and that is because when I run a professional game, wrestling game, it slowly consumes my soul in life, to the point where, like, the whole day becomes about the show. I run it online multiple times. I also ran it, I ran an in-person hybrid online, for like, I want to say almost 2 years. Yeah, it would, like, to the point where what we would do is you could play online with me via Messenger, or you could be there. And if you were there and rolling, I was writing up everything that would happen to a joint chat room on the Messenger, so that, like, you could go back and read everything that happened in the thing during the game. It was awesome, but it was also very trying. But wrestling, I love wrestling. I love a good wrestling game, especially when the wrestling game doesn't have a predetermined outcome, because because wrestling obviously has a predetermined outcome. That's how they book their shows. But the idea that I, as a booker, have to book the show but not know who's going to win is even better, because then you got to, like, build this story out of, like, nothing, especially when a dude shows up and it's like you built him up and then he gets beaten three moves and you're like, oh man, how are we gonna make this work? And I just love that kind of stuff. I love professional wrestling. I watch professional wrestling constantly. So that, and I'm suited for it. It's one of those genres that I can always do. I can always do it with relative skill and ease, and people will always have fun with it. Yeah, I always come back to it, always.
So I'm having a brain fade right now. What was the name of the wrestling game that you wrote up?
That was Upper Hand.
Thank you. Upper Hand. I actually, like, I played a couple of sessions of that with you.
It's fun.
I love that game.
Yeah.
I really had a lot of fun with that.
It's not as good as it could be. It's fun. It's fun, though.
You know, I know you're a game designer, and I know you're probably looking back and be like, you know, because you're always like, that's how every creative is.
Yeah.
They're always like, it's not done. It could be better. I want more. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed it. And one of the things I'm not a wrestling guy. I didn't grow up with my dad did not like wrestling. He was a boxing guy, so wrestling always annoyed him. So I just never grew up with it. I had a buddy in high school that was into wrestling, and, you know, we'd hang out sometimes, and I kind of picked up on some of it, like, then.
Mm-hmm.
But when I played that game, and I got to come out as, you know, what was my guy's name?
The Maniac.
Yeah. Like, I was, like, this over-the-top, like, almost homeless-looking guy.
Yeah.
Who had, like, my backstory had, like, I think I wasn't taking my medication, so I'd just go insane.
Oh, I loved him so much.
I loved playing that guy because it was like, role-playing to 10,
mm-hmm.
you know?
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun because it's also not necessarily, like, you're not going to, like, use it to go through therapy. You're not going to get any PTSD.
Right.
You're going to show up. You're going to cut a bitchin'-ass promo, maybe attack a guy backstage, and you're going to have a sweet-ass match. I think Upper Hand, I don't hate Upper Hand. Upper Hand, for everybody who doesn't know, is my company's first foyer into writing an RPG. You can find it on Drive-Thru Games. Unfortunately, you also have to buy a deck of cards with it, which made things complicated, which we've talked about before, about when we talked about Drive-Thru. We had an episode of this about Drive-Thru.
Yeah.
I don't think the game is bad. I think the game is fun. I think it's fun, though, in person with, like, three or four other people. That's when that game is really great. I don't think it really works well online, unfortunately. I don't think it really works well if you don't have that stable group. But if you got, you know, three or four people who are getting getting together once a month, once a week, they would have a lot of fun with that game.
Like if you have a table, like a table that you actually go to, and those people are the type of gamers that always like go on tangents or random, like, everything just dissolves in your game, you know, because they're always kind of crazy. They would love this. They would absolutely love that.
Yeah, I would also recommend you need somebody there who knows wrestling to kind of call the matches. A friend of mine, Jeremy, he does our OMGM, and he knows kind of wrestling, but he doesn't know it as deep as I do. They were some of the playtesters of the Garage Game, or some of the playtesters. And basically, when we were doing the playtest, you know, we did everything normal. But when people were having matches, I was calling the matches, basically, because I got so excited about it. And I needed to be there to show them how to play. So they would be, like, playing the cards against each other. Because it's played, it's card-based, everybody. It's not necessary. There's some dice rolling, but overall it's card-based. So, like, they would hit each other, and then I would make it up. I wouldn't leave it to them to make it up. Like, it would be like, oh, my speed move beats his tech move. And then I'd be like, oh, he comes in with three or four rights to the face. The other guy tries to get him in the vert, but he actually spins around, gives him a quick knee. He stumbles into the, you know what I mean? So I was, like, horse calling it. And Jeremy actually said to me afterwards when I asked him about, you know, recommendations, he was like, you know, the only note I have, you can't fix. And I was like, what's that? And he was like, you can't be at every session calling the matches. Like, people really need somebody there who's super into wrestling, and then that game is awesome. But if you weren't here today, it wouldn't have been as fun. And I was like, well, we're too deep in for me to fix something like that. But I wrestling is just, it's number one with a bullet for me. I can always do wrestling. I can pull stuff out without problems and make it entertaining. I enjoy it. And I really enjoy all the wrestlers I've ever, I tell everybody, all the wrestlers I've ever created as an NPC still exist in my head, and they're waiting for work. So that, what's your number two?
Okay. Number two, this one was a little bit easier for the GM point on the number two, aspect. And that's actually more of the, political intrigue slash, you know, narrative in like heavy, like interpersonal communication sort of style of genre. It's not like a big genre like all encapsulating like horror was, but when it comes to just genre in general, like when your characters are fighting with words and it's an RPG which is word based, and you're trying to con each other and go back and forth, and like, or you're all your characters are in a group and they're going against an NPC. They're trying to infiltrate like a spy game. I love spy games. I think they're a lot of fun. And you, now it takes a certain type of GM. Like the GM needs to know that he's, to a certain degree, he needs to challenge his players, but he's also, it's not an adversarial process, because you as the GM know they're lying, but you need to be that good GM that knows that this NPC is too dumb to realize that he's just a bouncer, so they can get by him. But maybe that NPC up there who's, you know, the boss or whatever, he doesn't know that he's pretty good. He's gonna be able to see through a bad lie. So if your guys are rolling badly, then, you know, make them work for it. Make them work hard for it. And that's trickier than in a combat scenario, because in a combat scenario, it's so much more mechanic and systematic, you know, like it goes step by step. But when in a narrative scenario, it's words and people can just do whatever they want. And what they think is a good lie may not necessarily be, or good con or good manipulation, may not be as effective in your mind. And so you kind of got to play that balance a bit. Yeah. But if you do it right, it's so much fun. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I really want to do a Big Brother RPG at some point in my life. I think that would be so much fun to do. If you could get, like, you know, even like 9 people together, or even like 5, and have a bunch of NPC players. I think just like a social game like that would be just so much fun to try and simulate in an RPG. It's one of the few, like, social, like, I watch some reality shows with my wife. She's very into them, and I do enjoy watching them with her, because we just kind of make fun of people the entire time. But Big Brother, I've always been fascinated with Big Brother since she got me to watch it, just because I was like, this is like the Super Bowl of lying. Like, this is what this is. It's like a bunch of people in a house and who can out-lie each other. And I just think that's so, like, it's so interesting because in that, like that thing that you're taught to never do, in this one situation, this is what you gotta do. And, but somehow, but what's so interesting about it is to win, you have to be judged by all the players that you eliminated. And so you have to lie in a way that's not going to hurt their feelings. And that, it's just so tricky to me, you know, watching those shows and how the winners find a way to do it. But yeah, I think that would be so cool to do in an RPG. The political intrigue stuff, just like, it just looks so cool. I've told this story before. I almost applied to be in an actual play because somebody was like, they wanted to do Love Island, but everybody's a monster. And I, you know, I'm married and I'm not going to flirt with other people on the internet, even in game.
But yeah, that could get, the right group of friends.
I almost hit the button just because I was like, that's going to be fun, man.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah.
That, so, like, I would see, like, that would be the RPG for a college crowd.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. The median age of that, I am sure, is between, like, 18 and 25.
Yeah.
And then you'd have
not
my
married.
Old, yeah, you'd have my old ass there, like, oh, man, I'm on a watch list now, aren't I? Okay.
No, they're 18. They're my wife.
I'm playing a 25-year-old. Does that count? Yeah, but stuff like that I think is really cool. Really cool. So am I just on my number two? I am on my number two, right?
Yeah, number two.
Superheroes. I would say at this point in my life, I'm a little bit sick of running superheroes because I'm a little bit sick of superheroes overall.
Right.
Just like I watched Marvel up until Endgame and then I was like, okay, enough. And Marvel's just like, what about these guys? And I'm like, no, really, I'm good. Can we do some other stuff? But what about these guys? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No, I'm good. I don't care anymore. You know, the Endgame was the end of it. It was really long. I mean, it was a decade of movie watching. So, you know, it was really, but what about these guys? And we got shows. And I'm like, I don't want to do it anymore. But I have a good formula for it. It's a working formula. I've ran it before to much success. We've talked about it here, so we don't need to go at length into it, especially since the episode's starting to get a little long in the tooth. But I think that, like, I love to be, instead of making them all a team, again, everybody out there, this is my advice, don't make them all a team. Make them all their own superhero and give them 15-minute quick comic books. Make sure you describe a cover to their comic book and then do 15 minutes and to be continued it, move to the next person. 15 minutes and set a timer on your fucking phone. And don't do it with a 6-person group. Just don't do it with that. But like, do it with that if you got like 3 or 4 people. It's just you. Now you. Especially if you're online, because then they could just go play games for the next half hour until it's their turn again. That's what I used to do every Sunday back when I was single and young and just, you know, grinding it out. I lived in a house with a buddy of mine and everybody lived in the same neighborhood. And just on Sunday, it was like, what time are you coming out? From 11 a.m. till 9 p.m., every 15 minutes was scheduled with, like, another player. And it was great. We did an Avengers. It was a huge storyline. I think that, like, I'm good at it. I can do it. It works. Superheroes. I can always do superheroes.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I haven't played a ton of superheroes, and I do get the superhero fatigue kind of setting in a little bit. That being said, I think, like, it's kind of compounded by the fact that Marvel's kind of put out kind of like a lot of lackluster superhero movies lately.
A lot of stuff. They just keep chucking them at us, man.
Yeah,
and now DC's like, now we're going to start chucking them at you. And I'm like, can we all stop chucking them at me for 10 seconds? Like, and maybe.
And I haven't been a fan of the storyline. That being said, one of my favorite shows on TV right now is Invincible. It's on Prime.
Fair.
It's a superhero. So I think there's a lot of good stories that could be told through there. And, you know, that's what RPGs are. You know, you're playing a role. you're writing a story with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. So that's your number two?
Yeah, I'm my number two. You on your number three. Okay.
Number three. Ooh, so number three. This one was really tricky for me from the GM point of view, because like once I got my first two down, like that was easy. Like, but going into number three to run as a GM, to be a writer of, come up with contact for, I wanted to go sci-fi again.
It's hard.
I went back and forth, honestly. Like, I'm still going back and forth between sci-fi and horror.
Because right, I up love to the wire.
Playing a good horror game. I am a horror guy. Like, my wife and I we bonded hooked. Over horror movies and horror video games. Mm. The first video game we ever played together, passing the controller back and forth, was Silent Hill.
Oh, no.
You know?
No.
You know what? I'm going to have to go horror. Okay. It was really hard for me. I bounced back and forth. But, like, horror gives you so many things. And if I had to go to it, that very, like, very supernatural horror. I'm not big onto the thrash slasher stuff. Even, like, super fantasy slasher stuff. Like Freddy Krueger, for instance. You know, it's magic thrash mm-hmm. Slasher.
Yep.
But more, like, in the genre of, like, this ominous force that's coming in. More like what we're doing with Ordo. Mm-hmm. You know, it is like a monster thing, but there's this big presence that you're trying to navigate through. And it's closing in on you. And the world's getting darker and darker and darker. And then you, at the last minute, have to find a way to survive and overcome. And that, there's so much you can do to make that feeling exist in horror. That as a writer, as a GM writing the this stuff, it really appeals to me a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good one. I am, like I said, I'm not a horror guy, but you wouldn't know it if you look at my play history right now. So it's not what I would pick, but yeah, I get it. I definitely get it. My last one is real tough because I'm kind of like brought down with like what I'd want to do and what I think I could do, you know?
It is hard. The last one is the hardest. It is. Cause it's like, really hard. Like...
Cause the first two I gave are not necessarily the ones that I jump to do right off the bat, but they're the ones that I could do, like without even question. Like if you're like, all right, let's do a superhero game right now, I could do a superhero game for you. There would be no problem. Okay. Like same with wrestling. I would do it. It would be fine. And then the third one is kind of like, do I want to do the thing that I want to do? I think I'm going to do the thing I would want to do. And I've been recently doing the thing that I want to do, and that is time travel. I love a good time plot.
Ooh.
I love a good, like, I'm my own grandpa bullshit type stuff. And I love Doctor Who. Big Doctor Who fan. And we're actually, it's not going to, obvious, it's coming out later this year. We want to get the entire first season done before we release any of it. But we're working on a Doctor Who actual play, like a game that exists in the Doctor Who universe, obviously unofficially. And we're five episodes in, and I've just had so much fun with it. Like, absolutely so much fun with it. I love the idea of, like the bootstrap paradox and all the different paradoxes yeah. you can, like, get into with it. Anybody who doesn't know, the bootstrap paradox is if Beethoven went back in time to before he wrote the Eighth Symphony and told himself how to write the Eighth Symphony, who actually wrote the Eighth Symphony? Nobody, because you're in a loop, like, basically. Like, if the person learns
where it came from.
Right, exactly. Like, there's in Zelda, Ocarina of Time for the 64, there's a famous scene. Spoilers for Zelda, which is like a 40-year-old game, so...
Yeah.
But basically he travels in time. He gets adult Link and old Link. Well, there's an old man that you meet that teaches you the Song of Storms, which allows you to like summon rain. And then you realize later in the game that you have to go back in time and teach the Song of Storms to the old man so that he can teach it to you in the future. Okay, so who actually did the Song of Storms? Because nobody did. Because you got it taught to you by somebody who learned it from you after you got it taught to you. That kind of stuff. I love that kind of stuff. I think it's so cool when it happens. I love the ideas behind it. And it's just something I love to get into. Whenever time travel ends up hitting, like, coming up, I'm like, oh, here we go. Let's do it. I can't wait. So, yeah. So that would be my third one. The one that I would say that I could do all the time, honorable mention, would be Mecha. I ran Badass Metal, which was my mecha game, for probably somewhere near, like, off and on for, like, 15 years of my life. Like, it never seems to go away. Like, all of my old Cleveland Heights friends played it. They become obsessed with it. They wrote their own supplements for it. It was very strange. And it all, like, spun off Mechton Zeta originally. And, like, I could do mecha in my sleep. Like, it's no problem. Like, it's one of those things that I think I'm probably a little bit too sick of now to maybe, like, throw out there, but I would be able to do it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the one that you've kind of played to death, but you still have a love for.
Yeah. Yeah. So, real quick question, because that's all three, right? We're all done.
Yeah. We got our three and our three.
I want to play
as game masters.
Before we start the sign off process, real quick, first thing that jumps into your head, if you could game master anything, any one genre right now, what would it be?
Ooh. Sci-fi.
Nice.
Exploration sci-fi, nice. Specifically. Exploration going across the galaxy.
I love exploration sci-fi. I'm a Star Trek guy. So I love the exploration stuff. My dog is making so much noise. I'm sorry, everybody.
You?
I would say if I jumped in right now and wanted to game master something right now, it would be, I just had it in my head and then I fucking lost it and it's driving me nuts.
Good thing we edit these.
Right? Well, I edit them. A little bit. Like, usually I don't have to edit these too much. If I had to jump in right now and game master, what would it be? It would be, man, I just had it in my head. I am having such a hard time keeping my train of thought straight right now.
Those days.
Yeah, it really is. It absolutely really is. If I had to jump in right now and game master something, it would be Kung Fu. I have never really done a great martial arts game. I would love to do a great martial arts game. And especially if it was fantasy martial arts. I think that's a genre that's not explored ever, really. I can't even think of one fantasy martial arts system. I think that would be really cool if, like, I set up a world that was straight up like fantasy, but the it was more based in, like, Kung Fu, karate, martial arts than normal. I think that'd be fucking sweet. I would love to do that. That would be something that would be extremely exciting to me, especially coming up with the system. I have done some martial arts based systems before. They're always a lot of fun, because what I usually base them on is, like, all right, if you beat him, you block, but you have to beat him by a certain amount to actually stop him and start attacking. You know, and so it creates this, like, chain of back and forth. That would be a lot of fun. I've also done Dragon Ball Z games before, and those are cool. I wouldn't do a Dragon Ball Z game this time around. I would want more of a Kung Fu thing. But, yeah, if you had to ask me right now, what do you want to run right now, I'd run a Kung Fu game.
That'd be cool. I've never played, actually, in a Kung Fu game or GM'd one, so that'd be real cool. Actually, kind of excited my interest into that genre.
Right. I mean, can you think of one? I can't think of one.
I can't. Not
Kung
really.
Kung Fu fantasy game out there. I mean, can't think of one.
The closest thing, I haven't read it yet. I haven't played it yet. The closest thing, and I don't even know if it really is, but I know the IP that it came from kind of is. It was Airbender, Last Airbender.
Oh. Okay.
Avatar. They just came up with the RPG.
Yeah,
the show definitely the magic element fire and stuff. But it was
I would say that's fantasy martial arts. I would definitely say that's fantasy martial arts. Like, yeah.
So maybe
that is a good point. That is a good point. All right. Well, you can wrap it, man.
Okay. Well, thank you everybody for listening to this. This has been the Wizards Retrobit Sanctorum, the show where we dive into all things CTRPG. Before we close out for the day, Zach, do you have anything you want to plug?
Nothing specifically. Just check out everything we have to offer. We do TTRPGs and video game stuff on Old Man Gaming. Any of our TTRPG content, as we are partnered with Wizards Respite, also comes out on Wizards Respite. So check out his channel as well for that. And then I do want to also point out that all the RPG stuff that's going to be coming out and this also come out on Spotify, so you can check that out there as well. Wizards Rest by Sanctuarum is on Spotify if you just want to listen.
Awesome, yeah. And the big thing, like, you know, this has been a really fun game, a very fun show about games. I'd also like to just throw out that I'm starting to do t-shirts. Got a new design in. All of them are TTRPG themed. And so you can check that out at the Wizards Respite, along with this show, all of the other RPG stuff that we do. I guess until next time, everybody, keep rolling them dice.